You're listening to The Ground Floor on Jefferson Public Radio, where we talk with regional entrepreneurs about their businesses and how they got started. I'm your host, Cynthia Scherr, and today I'm speaking with Robert Hibbs, who is the founder of AfterBits. It's a company that does electronic recycling based in both Medford and Houston. I first learned about AfterBits when I had a computer that I wanted to recycle, and first I wanted to make sure that it was safely scrubbed of all its data. So I called Staples and found out that they could recycle my computer, but that they wouldn't provide any guarantee that they wiped the data off, and they gave me Robert's number. So Robert, just tell us a little bit about what you do and correct me if I just made any mistakes.
No, you're spot on. That's fantastic. We are a kind of a data destruction company first, e-cycle company second, because that's kind of what got us into it to begin with. We guarantee data destruction, so we can do certification that provides both serial number, picture of the drive, degauss level, all that good stuff.
So how did you get started? What prompted you to say, oh, we need this here and we need it in the Valley?
I previously owned an IT company, an IT MSP or a managed service provider in Southern Oregon, and we worked with hospitals and schools and things like that. And anyone who owns an IT company knows that at a certain point, you start accumulating things. So hard drives, laptops, broken screens, these things. And most computer shops have a deep, dark closet that they pile them up in, and they hope that someday it'll clean itself. But it doesn't. It just continues to accumulate. And we had a significant amount of these drives, specifically from small clinics and some from the larger hospitals and schools and things like that that we worked with. And of course, they're locked up. At some point, that door can't close on that room. So you've got to solve the solution. And so we at that time had a big service vehicle and a bunch of trailers and stuff for various projects. And so we loaded them all up. And we started looking around for recycling companies that would accept things, but very specifically certify the data. Because if you're working with, let's say, one of the local hospitals, they don't accept the just thumbs up, you know, the trust me kind of thing. It has to actually have a paper trail with it. And when I went to go drop this stuff off, it was kind of an eye-opener for me because most recycling companies or e-cycle companies are akin to what is closer to like a scrapyard. They are not tooled out to work with very specific things such as detailed data destruction and things like that. And so we were kind of put in this kind of this rock and this hard place where I could not leave these drives because there was no guarantee that it would be wiped and PII or personal identifiable information would be scrubbed from them. So I took them back. About a year later, one of the companies that I had reached out to said, hey, we're going out of business. We can't make it work. Do you want to buy us out? And at that point, I had said, you know, I'm not financially in a position where I think that's a good idea because I don't know the industry. And so I, on a weekend, just kind of jumped in and said, okay, well, we've already on the IT side have dealt so heavily in the regulations with HIPAA and OLCC and working with, you know, cannabis grows and working with the hospitals and all of this various stuff. This can't be that hard. And it wasn't. It was a lot more of what we were already doing. And so I kind of spun up this other company to solely take my e-waste. So it was just like my company paying to take care of my own problems. And then everyone kind of got word that we were actually certifying it. And so I ended up investing a considerable amount of money into various products from Garner Industries. They're the same degaussers and crushers and equipment you're going to find on like aircraft carriers. They take pictures of the drives, they scan the drive, it's foolproof. Like you get a full PDF and an email and all that. It just kind of took off at that. And I ended up finding so much fulfillment through it that I kind of shifted gears and just started going almost entirely into e-waste.
And so you were dealing with large businesses that might have had a lot to dispose of.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
You know, I'm sure there are a lot of people out there like me who sort of hit the wall and like, why do we have three computers that
yes,
no one's using
correct.
And don't know what to do with? And, you know, most of us have some level of confidential information on our computers.
Oh, more than you ever. Being in cybersecurity, you have no idea. We used to do data recovery. That was one of the things in the IT company. I could take a hard drive that you think you've deleted everything off of, and I would find tax records, emails. I mean, all of that stuff's recoverable. The amount of data is staggering. And if I can make a little tangent, because this one always really surprises people, those big freestanding printers that you get, like you'll see in big office buildings, they're like 400 pounds. Every time you send something to print to it, it has to be cached somewhere. So there's a hard drive on these, right? And there are companies that will specifically pay top dollar for those, because most of those high-end printers are typically purchased by government, municipalities, or schools. And the amount of data, because it's not encrypted, it's just cached and then deleted, and it's all moving part hard drives. It's like a record player, right? So you pull those hard drives out and you can recover documents that go back decades. And we're talking, you know, confidential prescriptions, we're talking legal records, government agreements, like stuff that would blow your mind that's recoverable from these printers. And so it's quite surprising how much of that is recoverable.
And companies don't normally have protocols for destroying that data.
We work with the local FBI field office. They had reached out to us and said, hey, we have a freestanding printer. And I was very curious because I'm like, man, I would assume that they know this, right? And so I didn't say anything until I picked it up and the whole printer was intact. And it was a very creepy kind of thing, just walking into a room full of cameras. And I was going to send them an email saying, hey, just so you know, we destroyed this data for you. No, they had removed it. So they did their due diligence. So I'm like, okay, all right, cool.
This is The Ground Floor on Jefferson Public Radio. I'm your host, Cynthia Schur, and I'm speaking with Robert Hibbs, who is the founder of Afterbits, a company that does electronic recycling and also does data destruction. How big a problem is this kind of electronic waste in the U.S.?
It's a bigger problem than I think anyone really realizes. Honestly, if you're in it long enough, it boils down to the plastics. I pulled a few stats. So as of 2019, we are producing roughly 53.6 million metric tons of e-waste per year as a country. And by 2030, it's going to go up to 74 million metric tons. And so the biggest issue is the plastics. And that's for any recycler, anyone in the scrap business, anyone that's doing anything downstream. The plastics are worth nothing. There are no downstream ways to handle that. So it's akin to every time you have to change your tires, you have to build a whole separate Leshwab, because the grinding up of the plastics, the molds, all of that is tooled to temperatures. Like this water bottle right here, that is a completely different factory than like that coaster or the headphones that I'm wearing or the microphone. There, once you look at how ubiquitous the plastics are, that is the biggest problem. A biodegradable plastic is like biggest thing that could change the entire industry.
When we spoke earlier about where do the parts that you recycle go and what happens to them,
yes,
and then who will pay for them, because
correct,
this is a business
that you've got going, right? Yes, if you're not making money, you can't employ people, you can't do those things. We are a zero landfill facility. It's data security, then zero landfill, and then everything else kind of falls underneath that. Downstream vendors, there are a considerable amount that are what are called upcycle. It's a weird stigma. People don't want their stuff reused, and I don't understand the reason behind that. Like, we'll get devices where we'll see them put them in the bin and they'll purposely break them. We're like, well, what are you doing? You're creating garbage. You're not helping someone else. So, you know, like as we're sitting here, I'm seeing these microphones around me. Those will be recycled. And in almost all cases, they will go to a school. They will go to like a nonprofit or even charter schools outside of the country. Like Puerto Rico, actually, we send a lot of stuff to their schools. Like people don't know that, but they do not have access to the funding. Or, I mean, a $300-$500 microphone? Absolutely not. They're not going to be able to. Medical equipment's the same way. As long as it doesn't have the data, we can give it a second life and it can go on for another decade, which is hopefully still the same problem with the plastics. By that time, we will have a way to resolve that, but we're keeping it out of the landfill currently. We work with thousands of computer repair shops because I came from that industry and I know what components people are looking for, what part of the markets and things like that. And so that's what we kind of focus on.
So say I paid $1,000 for my laptop. Mm-hmm. I own it for 7 or 8 years, decide I need a new one. Where do all the parts to that go? I mean, I get reusing it and sending it to some place that might not have had that power already. Mm-hmm. But if you were taking it apart, where do all the parts go?
The first and foremost thing is most people don't know that they can pull their hard drive out. So as much as I want to charge for this service and destroy your data, it is not even it's barely on a balance sheet as like what we care about. You can pull that out and buy a small enclosure, plug it in through a little USB device, and you have all your data. You don't even have to recycle it. If you're dropping your things off to a recycler that cannot guarantee data destruction, I wouldn't guarantee it. I wouldn't take their word for it to say, yes, my data is destroyed. So that's the first thing is data, right?
Okay, and what does a proof look like for those of us who might want that someday?
So would be the serial number on the drive. Every single hard drive or SSD has a serial number, and then proof of destruction. Like ours calculates the amount of magnetism that goes through the disk, or with solid state drives, we actually calculate the millimeters between the wafer puncture points, because you can't degauss Flash Media. And we send pictures of it before and after. So you'll actually see it wafered and destroyed and all that stuff. Now, as far as the laptop, at that point, we will look at it. And surprisingly enough, even very old computers, such as like Windows XP machines, can have a second life with a Linux operating system. And the vast majority of all the other countries don't use Microsoft products. They use LibreOffice, they use, you know, Ubuntu, they use these types of things. And we accumulate a lot of them, and then we look towards municipalities that are mostly in U.S. territories. We try to keep it at least within the U.S. economy. We haven't done anything outside of that.
And is that by statute, or is that because you just want to play it safe?
We want to play it safe, but the Houston location, which is our downstream from our Medford, is what's called an R2V3 facility. So we're certified.
You better explain that.
Yes, I will. So R2V3 is the Oregon eCycles program on steroids. We had to have, you know, we have magnetic door locks, facial recognition, key fobs. You can't come in and out of the facility without us knowing your blood type. Like, it's crazy, right? And so by doing that, one of the questions that come up during the audit, you have to fly auditors in, is how much is your domestic export? Where are you sending it and those types of things? If I ship a pallet of laptops to, let's say, Malaysia, there is no guarantee that I'm not just going to get a PDF that says thumbs up, everything's good, where U.S. territories do have a very strict, you know, we're not going to sit out in a field and melt them kind of thing. And so we can't guarantee wholeheartedly and be able to honestly say that we're a zero landfill facility. And we kind of go against our own principles if we can't say, okay, well, I know where this is going. That's kind of our principle. Huh. There's nothing stopping us from shipping pallets of, you know, computers and things to other countries. We just really, really prefer not to. And, and it's hard to sell a product that you don't believe in.
So talk a little bit about the future for your business. Like, where do you see it going?
So as far as the future goes, our kind of goal is to solve bigger problems. So when I mentioned the plastic thing, that kind of weighs on us a lot. And being able to solve that in a meaningful way, like if I was to build a factory, a multi-million dollar factory today, and be able to process plastics, I'd be a billionaire in 2 months. Like if I had a way to do it properly. And so what we're looking for is to do that on a very small scale and then ultimately open up grants. But people don't typically give out grants to companies that aren't showing some level of progress. And so it's we've got to kind of walk before we can run. And so that's kind of the future goal, is to be able to make a much bigger impact than – and I'm not saying we're not. We take in hundreds of thousands of pounds a year, but – it feels like a drop in the bucket when it's metric tons of millions, you know? And so we would ultimately like to go the direction of making a bigger impact.
Mm-hmm. And so you've already got a base now in Houston. Mm-hmm. Do you have further expansion plans?
So right now we're focusing a lot on getting what we didn't have with the IT company. And so it's more so like we want to have a staffing condition where everyone makes enough to where they don't want to leave, and we want to provide benefits that no one else gets. And so we're focusing a lot on that first. So our first year in Houston is going to be a lot of, okay, how do we create sustainability to where we can give 2-week paid vacations and company vehicles and cell phone stipends and all that cool stuff that you want to see from a profitable company before we expand. But ultimately, we do have goals to, we're already scouting out land to potentially have something a little bit bigger. Our shtick, or our big thing, is that we are a community-first program. So if you are a school or healthcare, we almost don't charge you for anything if you're in the healthcare side. But if you're a school, law enforcement, anything to do with childcare at all, our services are free to you. So we don't charge you to pick it up, which our pickup rates are very, very, very small to begin with, but we do make, or nonprofit. All nonprofits are just, they're covered. Like, we just umbrella all of them because we kind of feel like they're our brothers, you know, they're like, they're doing kind of the same thing. And so we work really hard to give back as much as we can. And yeah, there you go.
Great. So if you want to learn more about Afterbits, you would go to afterbits.com?
Yep, that's it.
Great. And I saw on there that you do have special sections for nonprofits.
We do. Yeah.
So that it's a pro bono service for nonprofits. Thank you so much for talking with us today. You've been listening to The Ground Floor, JPR's Regional Business Podcast. I'm Cynthia Scherer, and you can find this program and more on our website at jeffexchange.org or subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening, and thanks so much for being our guest today, Robert.
Thank you.